We're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. And we're going through the Book of Daniel. We started it last time, so if you want to catch up with us, you can listen to the archives there at the website, crosstheborder.org. Now we're on Chapter 4 of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar is telling his dream. This is by decree is the matter for the watchers, and okay, he's telling the dream still, and demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the king may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. He was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Yes, I wonder why. Well, we're going to find out why his thoughts troubled him. The king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream, he said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. So what he's saying is that you're not going to like it, because it's not a good thing for you. And that's why he was astonished and probably didn't want to speak, because Nebuchadnezzar has quite a temper. And if he hears something he doesn't like to hear, but now he's telling him, I want to hear it anyway. Don't worry about it. Daniel, he's calling him Belteshazzar. So he continues, and he says, The tree that thou sawest withdrew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, and under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is you, O king, that are grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And Nebuchadnezzar likes to hear this stuff, this part. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. And of course we know that seven times is 7 years. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So Daniel's giving him the interpretation. He's calling him to repent, saying, break off your sins by doing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. He apparently forgot all about the dream after a year. The king spoke and said, Is not this great kingdom Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? Apparently he forgot about the dream and about learning who really rules in heaven and who sets up the basis men. He's here bragging on himself, walking through, sticking his thumbs in his armpits, going, yeah, I'm the man. Isn't it I who've done this? Right? He's forgotten already That tells you about the character of this man. Why I say it's unlikely we're going to see this man in the resurrection. And he's going, yeah, you know, I have built the house of my kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty. And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding and returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. You never know. There's hope for anyone, but it's unlikely. Belteshazzar, the king, made a great feast to the thousands of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, okay, now this is Belshazzar, the king. His name is like the name they gave Daniel, who is Belteshazzar. And this is Belshazzar, the king. So I guess we're done with Nebuchadnezzar for now. That's it. So perhaps Nebuchadnezzar ended on a good note. Perhaps he continued to recognize, or perhaps he fell back. You know, I mean, who wouldn't straighten out if they had experienced what Nebuchadnezzar has experienced? But I remember what Yahushua said to his disciples. And as when one of them said, unless I see, I won't believe, you know. Yahushua said, blessed are those who believe having not seen. And, you know, that's us. We haven't seen these things. We didn't see the Messiah. We weren't able to stick our fingers in the nail holes and thrust our hand into his side or see the nail scars on his feet. We didn't see those things. We haven't seen mighty miracles, and we haven't passed through the fire of a fiery furnace without being burnt. But yet we believe, because we have something. We have the Spirit of Truth living in us. We've crossed a border, not an imaginary border like the kingdoms of men out here. They've drawn imaginary lines on the ground, and then they put fences and crossing gates and guards at these imaginary lines that they've drawn on his earth. But he sets up the kingdoms, and he puts the basest men in power. And I mean, that is obvious from the idiots that we have that running the nations around here and up in the Congress, that he puts the basest men in the power over the nations of the earth. And he does it to work out his purpose and for his own purposes. So now we're on Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to the thousands of his lord and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. So here we have Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He's now the king. His father had taken the vessels out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praise the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And the same hour came forth a finger, the fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Wow, you know, they're drinking, everybody's, pretty much blasted, I guess, and partying, and all of a sudden they see the same hand over on the wall where the light is and the candlestick, and it's writing on the wall. What would you think? You had a little too much to drink, perhaps. So anyway, they see it, and the king's countenance was changed. Yes, I could imagine. He probably turned white as a ghost, as the saying goes. And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And here's a man in terrible fear. I mean, he's just shaking all over, shaking so bad that he probably wet his pants, too. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. This all sounds so familiar, doesn't it? Like father, like son. Yeah. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show thee the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came unto the banquet house, and the queen spoke unto him and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Yehuda, whom the king my father brought out of Yehudim?" It says jewelry here, but really Yehudim is the Hebrew word there. "I have even heard of thee." So he said, "Yeah, I heard of you. That's right, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that the light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. I have heard of thee that thou can make the interpretations of dissolved doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom." And Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Thou, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and a majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all these things. But you've lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent forth from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. It says, Mene, 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 Tinkel, Tekel, Upharsin. And I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing that correctly here. Let's see. Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Upharsin. It says, actually says, Peras, for Upharsin. I don't know how they translated it, Upharsin. It means to divide. So in the Chaldee, it's Upharsin, I suppose. Anyway, he goes on. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Too late. Too late, huh? In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So we got a 62-year-old man. Darius the Mede came in and had Belshazzar slain, and he took the kingdom away from him. And, well, we've seen that in the image, didn't we? That the head of gold, that was Nebuchadnezzar. That's where it ended for Babylon. His son didn't get a kingdom. Basically, it was over very quickly for his son. That was the end of it. And then the Medes and the Persians came in, and he was slain that night. So, anyway, we have here, going into chapter 6 now, and the end of Darius the Mede took the kingdom, and he was 62 years old. That ends chapter 5 at verse 31, and we're going into chapter 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them. Yeah, and it's pretty easy to set up Daniel. I mean, Daniel's the guy, he's already there, and he's already in charge of everything. And, you know, here comes the next king, you know, the next ruler in this heathen government. You know, just one has conquered another, and the government's already there, and it's a lot less work for Darius to just set up these princes and these presidents over the kingdom. So he does it. And Daniel, it says here in verse 2, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. That means it's not going to cost him anything. And then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So you have Daniel, I mean, just a totally righteous man. You know, again, I guess against most men, you could find some dirt. You know, they're trying to dig up the dirt, as they say in the political circles today, when you have someone who's running for an office or president or whatever, you'll have his opponents out there trying to dig up the dirt on him to see what they can find against him. Because, you know, if you dig deep enough, you usually can find something, because the world is full of ungodly men. And they live ungodly lives, and they do ungodly things. And if they don't cover their tracks real well, usually there's something that can be found. But they couldn't dig up any dirt on Daniel. So, not because they couldn't dig up any dirt on him, I guess they're going to have to invent some dirt or make some or get some false witnesses, which is usually, that's usually plan B. But anyway, we'll jump back in here. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And there you go, they found the key, because they see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't disobey the law of their God. And Daniel, of course, he wouldn't eat the king's dainties. So, you know, he would do whatever was required of him by the governors or these base men that the Heavenly Father set up to rule in the kingdom, unless, of course, they required him to break God's law. And so they were looking to set up a rule or make a law that would require Daniel to break God's law. And now that's their new plan. And I'll tell you, that's Satan's plan. And we're going to discuss that a little bit more, how he has implemented that plan, even today in the nation where I live. Although it's still all voluntary, so it seems like it always has to be voluntary, even if you think it's mandatory. Sometimes you need to look a little deeper into the things that you're doing.